Today, inquests were opened into the deaths of five of the eight victims killed in this month's attack on the London Bridge and Borough Market. Investigators continuing to find out what's known about the three attackers, a British citizen born in Pakistan, a Moroccan-Libyan, and a Moroccan-Italian. The car and knife attack shattered a Saturday night. It was one of several in the past few months claimed by ISIS. And it's added to the ongoing question, in the puzzle that is terrorism, what are the puzzle parts? Yes, extremist ideology. Yes, a region destabilized by recent wars. But how much is this unrest tied to Europe's colonial history? Michael Provance is a professor of Middle East history at the University of California, San Diego. He's also got a new book out, The Last Ottoman Generation and the Making of the Modern Middle East. He joins us now. Michael, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
And, you know, our call to you was prompted by a question from a young person as we were watching coverage of the Saturday night attack. And he said, why are there so many people from other countries in England? Could you remind us, how did that happen?
Well, of course, Britain and France dominated a lot of the world as colonial empires from the 19th century into about the middle of the last century, the 20th century. So all of North Africa, much of Central Africa were French colonies, and much of the Middle East, Syria, Lebanon, French colonies, British colonies in Palestine, today's Israel, Jordan, Iraq, informal colony in Iran, of course, all of South Asia, Pakistan, India, Bangladesh, and Burma.
Well, can you make a tie? Can you make a direct tie between that colonial imperialist history and what's happening today?
Well, maybe not a direct tie, but there's certain things that I think are important. Colonial governments don't colonize countries based on consent. And in a situation of continual crisis of legitimacy, colonial governments dominate their populations by violence and recourse to different types of corruption. And so these kinds of habits, I think, have a long afterlife. And we see that in the Middle East today and in other regions as well. There's a habit of corruption and of dealing with internal dissent in a violent way. So that's the main legacy, I would say, of the colonial governments.
Well, and others are very happy to draw a really straight line. Here's a headline from The Guardian. Immigration will remain a toxic issue until Britain faces up to its colonial past. Here's one from Salon. The secret history of terror in Europe, how our blindness to a century of mistakes is making everyone less safe. And it goes on to say, Great Britain and France transform what had been a relatively quiet province of the Ottoman Empire into one of the least stable and internationally explosive states in the world. It's not just about what happened in the colonial eras, but it's about how parts of the world were carved up.
Well, the real carve-up of the Middle East, of course, was after the First World War, when all of the countries of the region were written out on the map in secret negotiations between Britain and France, and then adjudicated immediately after the First World War, a little less than 100 years ago from today. So the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, the conflict between Kurdistan and the surrounding states, the Lebanese Civil War, and in a way, the Syrian Civil War today, all of these things have their roots directly in that period and those kinds of decisions that were made by British and French policymakers at that time. So when people are fleeing the continual conflicts, they're fleeing the colonial legacy itself.
Well, and you're talking about the Sykes-Picot Agreement of 1916.
That's right.
It gave what was then Mesopotamia, Iraq, the Gulf area, and the regions that were bordering then Palestine to Great Britain. Syria and most of the eastern part of the region was given to France. Stephen Kinzer, the former New York Times correspondent, is one of those who says it's no coincidence that France and Britain, two of the countries most affected by recent terror attacks, have this history as two of the most outstanding empires. But remind us further why peoples who were under the empire, why would they end up in France and Britain?
They fled war and conflict that was brought by the colonial government in India with partition, with the Algerian Civil War, with the Lebanese Civil War, with civil wars that are taking place now. And they came for economic reasons and in search of a better life, like anyone else. But mm-hmm. The generations who have grown up in these countries are often not treated very well and don't enjoy full citizenship rights or access to the kinds of things that the full citizens of these countries enjoy. So there's a sort of a differential model of citizenship in some cases.
Well, and we have to add, too, for France, you have the defeat in the Algerian War of Independence. I mean, Algeria threw off the yoke of colonialism.
That's right. And in a situation of appalling violence where the French government killed hundreds of thousands of people in order to hang on to Algeria over the course of a couple of years and then abandon the country anyway. So these kinds of things and the colonial counterinsurgencies that Britain and France waged, people haven't dealt with them. They haven't discussed them. They haven't. It's not part of the public discourse on a very serious level in these countries. So the wounds that continue to fester over the colonial history are undealt with or undiscussed.
And what should have happened? Because the other thing that we're seeing as police race into these neighborhoods where it's suspected some of these attackers have come from, these are insulated neighborhoods. They are usually made up of just the immigrant population. Should there have been an attempt to integrate them more fully into the mainstream population? Did the people who came not want to be mainstream?
Well,
what happened there?
I mean, colonialism, and we can draw on the recent history of the United States and Iraq, can only really happen in a situation where people in the colonizing country, in the militarily dominant country, imagine that the people of other countries don't have the same rights or even the same consciousness or same race that they have. So there's an idea that they are entitled to dominate other people, and this is kind of the first step for a colonizing country. Once those people come and try to gain full citizenship in the countries that used to colonize them, that racial rift, that cleavage, doesn't just go away. Mm-hmm. So those people are disenfranchised and not offered the same kind of employment or the same kind of educational facilities or the same housing or the same rights to participate and to represent themselves in the countries where they find themselves.
We're reading others say that in order to colonize somebody, in order to suppress a population, you have to think of them as less than. That's why you need to rule over them. And so you're saying that that doesn't go away even over generations.
That's right. I mean, if we remember the kind of things that American politicians said about Iraq before the invasion, they're failing at modernity, and we have to go and bring Iraq into the modern world. So this kind of arrogance doesn't square well with integrating people and assimilating people who are different.
But is there something that could have been done? For instance, now we're seeing the newly elected French president, Emmanuel Macron, describe French rule in Algeria as barbaric, a crime against humanity. He was roundly criticized by the right for that. But is that something that people in North Africa need to hear?
Well, the people in North Africa have their own problems. But France and Britain have not been immigrant societies in a simple way. The United States is different. And so the story of people coming here and becoming Americans without most people questioning their Americanness is quite different than the experience in Europe, where people who come from North Africa, even after many generations, or from Turkey, or from the Arab states, will be asked again and again and again, what are you really? Even if you speak French perfectly, even if you have a Manchester accent, people will not accept that you are truly English or truly French. And until that changes, there will be angry, disaffected, disenfranchised people who act out in ways that are traumatic for everyone.
Do you think maybe the U.S. is changing now as well?
I hope not. Mm. If we change in that way, it won't be a good thing.
That's Michael Provance, professor of Middle East history at the University of California, San Diego. Again, taking a look at just one puzzle part in the story of terrorism. Professor, thank you so much.
My pleasure.